time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Hey everyone, my name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview, and we have a great one for you today, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is Rejoice, Just Do It. It's performed by Spencer Jones. Sit back and enjoy.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
we just do it.
Rejoice
in the Lord,
my Lord.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
just do it.
Already,
I know He brought me through.
Oh my God,
loving, loving your precepts.
Precepts,
it's freedom like recess.
Living blessed,
the best,
what peace says.
And peace says,
I'm eat what He says.
Hallelujah.
Following
your statutes,
walking out
the Beatitudes.
100
Rip Franklin,
some Chase too.
I glue,
got rules,
He's my pursuit.
Whatever's
true,
right,
and lovely,
lovely,
noble,
admirable,
not ugly.
Yes, sir.
Pure,
excellent,
praiseworthy,
worthy.
I'ma focus on these,
just do it like Nike.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
we just do it.
Rejoice
in the Lord,
my Lord.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
just do it.
Already,
I know He brought me through.
Oh my God,
loving,
loving your precepts.
Precepts,
it's
freedom like recess.
Living
blessed,
the best,
what peace
says.
And peace says,
I'm eat
what He says.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Following
your statutes.
Walking out
the Beatitudes.
100
Rip Franklin,
some Chase too.
I
clue,
got rules,
He's my pursuit.
Whatever's
true,
right,
and lovely,
lovely,
noble,
admirable,
not ugly.
Yes, sir.
Pure,
excellent,
praiseworthy,
worthy.
I'ma focus
on these,
just do it like Nike.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
we just do it.
Rejoice
in the Lord,
my Lord.
Rejoice,
just do it.
Already,
I know
He brought me through.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
we
just do it.
Rejoice
in the Lord,
my Lord.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
just do it.
Already,
I know
He brought me through.
Whatever's true,
right,
and lovely,
lovely,
noble,
admirable,
not ugly.
Yes, sir.
Pure,
excellent,
praiseworthy.
Focus on
these,
just do it like Nike.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
we just do it.
Rejoice
in the Lord,
my Lord.
Rejoice,
rejoice,
just do it.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I hope you enjoyed Rejoice, Just Do It. You can download Rejoice, Just Do It from any of the ways that you download music. And that also is a great segue into our interview because that song was performed by Spencer Jones. And we have in our studio today Spencer Jones, attorney at law. Spencer is actually my, can I say baby brother?
Yeah, we can go with that.
An attorney in the same sentence. Spencer is my younger brother. Welcome, Spencer.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. So we have probably completed the circle of our family. I think all of the adults in our family, in our, you know, kind of immediate family, have been on the radio show. We got to work on having more of our kids. Christian, Jones has been on. Naomi Nivens has been on. Awesome. So we're like, we're getting everybody here. So our whole family, honestly, is, you know, we all do something different, creative in different ways. So everybody's got to keep in touch with our family to see what's going on next. But today, today we are focusing on Spencer Jones, attorney at law. Spencer is a patent attorney, and he has his own business, and he's doing wonderful things for the kingdom of God, wonderful things for women. And so I wanted to invite you here, Spencer, just so, you know, you could share with our ladies about the things that they are inventing, the things that they are creating, giving them some ideas, giving them some direction on what they should do. Because sometimes people don't know that when you have created something, you need to make sure that it's protected in the right way. There are some things that need to be done.
Absolutely.
So first, I want you to, before we jump in, because we'll just start talking and we'll go. Tell us how to get in contact with you. Number one.
Okay, yes. Well, certainly, you can find us out on the web at our website. It's SpencerJonesLaw.com. That's very easy. Again, yep. SpencerJonesLaw.com. And so you can find us out there and all the wonderful information about the firm.
Perfect. So I say creativity. You have a word that you say, imagineering, right?
Yes.
Yes, imagineering. Yes. And what does imagineering mean?
Yes, well, imagineering is basically, and I have to say, I'm not the creator of that particular word.
Okay.
But imagineering, the context of what is getting at is basically being able to let your imagination run wild. Look at maybe problems in the world or problems that you face every day, mm-hmm. and finding solutions. And so it's kind of an amalgamation, if you will,
okay.
of imagining and engineering. So you're basically letting your imagination run wild and finding a solution to a problem and working that out. And that's imagineering.
Yeah. So you work with people who have come up with anything spectacular. Are you just focusing on one area in patent law, or can anybody come to you and say, I've created such and such, I don't know, a better way to do this, and you'll help them to protect their creation?
Yes, I certainly will. And so I try not to limit myself necessarily to any particular technical background.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly have some areas that I've worked in the past that I'm very familiar with. So I'm available to help anyone out, that may need those types of that type of assistance.
Yeah. And so you have some specific examples of some women who have, you know, the Lord has blessed them and they've created something very unique. And I wanted you to share some of those stories with us.
Okay. Yes. Great. And so the first one that I'd like to share with our listeners is Mary Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mary is very interesting because she invented, get this, a mechanical windshield wiper that was patented way back in 1903.
Hmm.
And it was at a time when horse-drawn carriages were the typical means of transportation. Very few people actually owned cars at that time, and mm-hmm. so they weren't even driving at high speeds. And so, unfortunately, at the time that she came up with this invention, the people really didn't see the need or the value mm-hmm. for windshield wipers. But she was riding in, a car one day and noticed that the driver was having to stick his head out and try to reach around and clean off the window mm-hmm. when it was snowing. And she came up with this idea of a mechanical windshield wiper. She ultimately got it patented. And now you think about it, all these years later, that essentially every vehicle has
a
windshield wipers
mm-hmm.
on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that even goes to show that how we can never devalue or downplay the ingenuity and the creativity that God mm-hmm. gives us. And especially, women, because I believe that God gives women a whole lot of creativity
right.
that just kind of operates and springs out. So that's one example. Another example is Marie V.B. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1966, she invented an early closed circuit TV system used for home monitoring. in 1966. Okay. And this system included a video scanning device, audio equipment, and a remote door unlocking mechanism. And so Ms. Brown's invention was the forerunner of all advanced home security technology used today. And you think about all of us that have, you know, home security systems in our homes. And we're controlling now
from our phone.
Exactly,
yes.
From our smartphones. Mm-hmm. Well, that all goes back to Miss Marie V.B. Brown's invention in 1966. And then here's another one. This is a little bit more present day. Dr. Ellen Ochoa. Now, she's a veteran astronaut, and she was the 11th director of the Johnson Space Center.
Okay.
She's also the first Hispanic American woman in space.
Okay.
Now, she's a co-inventor on three patents that relate to optical inspection systems, optical object recognition, and noise removal in images. Her invention significantly increased the ability to capture and analyze detailed imagery, including applications in space and on Earth. So her inventions, ideas, even, you know, span beyond literally on this earth, but out in outer space, they're using her technologies, which is truly awesome.
So I love the way your brain works. So that's what lawyers do. So they go back and they look at, okay, what is the, this is called looking at the precedent. Looking at, you know, what's been done and then what can we learn from that for today. And so I hear you. Tell those stories. And so I just honestly think that whatever you invented, don't think that, you know, even if it's before its time, you probably need to go ahead and take those steps to look into it to see, can this be something that can spur us forward for the future?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. So, were you about to say something?
I was.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay. So I was just to follow up with your train of thought that I certainly believe that, you know, creativity comes from God. And I believe that God will give us, you know, glimpses into literally the heavenly realms and give us solutions to the earth's problems. And in some cases, years before, you know, they're actually widely accepted or people will actually catch up to the value of those ideas. And so certainly as believers, we definitely want to make sure that we hear God and push those things forward. I know there are many things even in my lifetime that, you know, God gave me and I didn't even realize that God gave them to me. And so maybe I didn't prioritize them like I should have. And who knows of the things that I may have missed out on. So I certainly want to encourage our listeners that when God gives you an idea, recognizes him and work that thing to the fullest. You know, as you were saying, look and see if somebody else has been thinking about it. Don't always think, you know, because I think some people fall into this trap of, well, I've thought about it. I'm sure hundreds of other people have already thought about it. Maybe not. Maybe they thought about it and they haven't done anything with it. So go forward, push forward, you know, search on the internet, see if anybody's thought about it, look of ways to use it, or maybe it's even just an improvement on something that's already existing.
And I mean, you know, this radio show was that for me. I mean, how many women have, you know, started a radio show or a podcast, but I honestly know that, you know, the Lord put this on my heart. And, you know, fear, self-doubt, all of those things, you know, creep in. Somebody else can probably do it better than me. Somebody else probably knows more about this than me. But nobody can take your life experience and create something unique just like you can, you know. So go ahead and follow the steps and don't be afraid. So how far along does an idea have to be before someone says, okay, now I need to see about protecting my idea? Does it have to be just written down on the paper, or does it have to be all the way, I don't know, invented and put together?
Well, certainly it does not have to be invented. You don't have to have prototypes or anything like that. quite frankly, you don't necessarily have to have it written down on paper necessarily. Oh, okay. Now, you may want to do that just to kind of memorialize what you have. You know, if you're a visual learner like me, sometimes seeing something on paper on a screen kind of helps solidify more your mind, helps you to think even more about maybe additional improvements or alternative ways to do what your initial idea is. Mm-hmm. So that there's some, you know, internal benefit from doing that. And then also just to memorialize kind of your date of creation is good. But in terms of, you know, ability to protect, you don't necessarily have to have, again, a finished product or even a prototype to start looking at, you know, ways to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
Protected.
Yeah, yeah. And so I know that you also said that there are so many examples in scripture that we can learn from when we are thinking of imagineering and creativity. I believe you said that that Rahab is a great example for us.
Yes. And so, yeah, that the biblical account of Rahab is one that certainly came to my mind. And it's, you know, it starts out in Joshua chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And just some real quick background, feel free to stop me if I'm going
too long,
Carla.
Go ahead.
Is that, you know, the children of Israel were actually, you know, spying out Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had promised them that particular land. And so they sent two spies and they just happened to take lodging in Rahab's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very interesting because as I read this story and the Lord reminded me of this story, I kind of saw it in a different light of how I, you know, previously thought about it. But I began to see the ingenuity mm-hmm. that Rahab displayed
mm-hmm.
and her knack for business
mm-hmm.
and organization and how she quickly, you know, came up with a an idea or a plan to help out the spies.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that really stood out to me was that one, when the spies came, she said to them that she knew that the Lord had given them the land. And so as I thought about that, I was thinking, the only way she could have known that was through divine revelation from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so first and foremost, she recognized that this was a God thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really governed how she acted,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so in that case, she immediately went into, okay, what's the plan? How can I help them?
Mm-hmm.
And so she, you know, ended up hiding them first, you know, presumably in her house. And then the scripture says, when the officials came, you know, to ask her about them, you know, she was saying that she didn't know where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And then she hit them again a second time that was on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that, the scripture says that it was, she hit them in some stalks of flaxseed. Now, the interesting thing about that was very ingenious because oftentimes people would lay out flaxseed on the roof so that it could be dried out,
mm-hmm.
More or less so that it could be processed for further uses. So it was very ordinary for people to have flaxseed on their use if that's what they were doing
mm-hmm.
and maybe for business purposes or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So she had laid that out there. She hit them on the roof, so it wasn't out of the ordinary, you know, for that to be there, for them to be able to hide there.
Right.
But the officials were not going to be checking, you know, at that time
mm-hmm.
on the roof. And so she was able to conceal them. And then after she did that, she came up with a plan of letting them out of her window on the court. And then she gave them some instructions even after that. She said, go into the hills where you can hide and stay there for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you think about all the things that she displayed there. She displayed quick thinking on her feet. Apparently, she was very calm
mm-hmm.
under a strenuous situation,
mm-hmm.
You know, and dealing with the officials and not tipping them off to something, you know, where it was going. Unlike me, you know, Carla can attest to it. She has these stories about me being young and getting caught and doing something. And she says,
you couldn't keep your face right.
Yeah, my face. But Rahab was cool under pressure.
Right.
And she came up with a plan. And the awesome thing is, ultimately, not only was she able to save herself,
mm-hmm.
you know, she bargained with the spies and said, hey, I've shown you mercy. I've shown you kindness. Will you all do the same for me and my family?
Mm-hmm.
And they agreed. And so ultimately, Rahab was saved. The Bible says her family, her whole family was
mm-hmm.
saved,
mm-hmm.
her mother, father, brothers and sisters. And literally, they experienced their own Passover.
Hmm.
You know, if you look at that story, because the Israelite spies told her to go ahead and tie the ribbon in her window.
Mm-hmm.
And so when ultimately all the walls fell down, everything fell down but that section. So everybody Rahab and everybody that was in our house, they were spared. They were saved. So the Lord literally passed over her residence, you know, so that she could live. And then the Bible goes on to tell you that ultimately she was in the line of ancestry, of Christ. And so she's mentioned in the Bible, she's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the halls of faith about how through her faith and believing God, she acted upon that because, you know, faith without works is dead. So she acted upon it, her faith, helping out the spies. And so literally her whole family was saved through her ingenuity, through exercising her faith, through trusting in what God had given her and helping out the spies.
Right. And this, you know, she was just an ordinary woman. You know, she's just an ordinary woman.
Yes.
So I think every woman can read the Bible, the scripture, and say, okay, this is an example of for me to be able to follow. If Rahab can do it, I can do it. I can hear from the Lord. I can follow the Lord. I can be, you know, I can have plans and I can, you know, create a pathway for myself maybe that I haven't thought of before. You know, I can do something new for my family. I can create a new avenue. I can create a new stream of business. I can create something, you know, that we can sell and to, you know, to bring in some income to the family.
Yes, that's really good. And so I think, and certainly for me, I believe that sometimes the hurdle is one, realizing this is really from God. This is not just me. This is not just something that I do on the side or, you know, a hobby. But literally, this is God inspired.
Right.
And so because of that, I need to allow the space to breathe and to grow and to put some effort and some elbow grease behind it. And being able to see beyond what, you know, it may start out. You know, the Bible talks about not despising small beginnings.
Right.
And so, yeah, don't worry about if it seems insignificant or if it seems small. Trust and know that, you know, our ingenuity, our creativity, it comes from God.
Right.
It's God breathed, and he's imprinted in our DNA, you know, those passions, those gifts, those talents. And so it's our job just to work it. And and step out in faith. Sometimes that's jumping, you know, jumping out in faith and really putting the effort and the elbow grease behind it. And the awesome thing is nowadays with the internet technology, there are so many ways and so many avenues, you know, to get assistance or to do research and find information that we don't know. And so we can't allow that to stop us. We can't allow the fear of failure to stop us, but know that it's a God idea, and so we're just going to push forward.
Right. You know, I think in our family, and, you know, we thank the Lord, you know, for our parents and grandparents and everything, but we kind of don't limit ourselves to one area. You know, you are a lawyer, but you also write music, and you know, you also have music available for people to download, like Rejoice, Just Do It.
That's right. That's my alter ego, DJ Law, by the way.
DJ Law, that's what. So, Hope, our sister-in-law, she's the one that gave you that name,
right? She did. Yeah. She did. Thanks, Hope.
Yes. So she made up DJ Law. So she was like, she said, your brain, she was like, I can't fathom the things that go on in his brain. I mean, he reads very serious, boring textbooks, but he also, you know, writes raps and chants and things that teenagers absolutely love. You know, all of our teenagers that we work with, they love Rejoice to Just Do It. I mean, and everything you write, all of the stuff you write. So don't sit there thinking I need to, you know, keep myself on one path. I can't learn something new. In scripture, it tells us that the Lord gives us gifts. We aren't to bury those gifts. We are to multiply those gifts. So you are supposed to learn to do new things. You're supposed to invent. You're supposed to reproduce in all kind of different ways. And so that by doing that, we're just simply being the people that that God wants us to be.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Real quick, so just a little history behind kind of how I really gravitated to that name was that while I was in law school, I was in the church service, and I met a minister, was talking to a minister after the service, and he found out I was in law school, and he said, you know what? I believe that God is making a way for you to go to law school. You're going to learn the law, but you're going to teach people God's law. And so when Hope came up with DJ Law, I was like, yes, that's it. I like that.
Yes,
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. That is very good. Okay, so we've got a lot more that we want to cover, and but let's take a break, and let's and we'll press pause, and we will be right back.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back, everyone. I am Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We are having a great conversation with Spencer Jones, attorney at law. Spencer is my younger brother. And actually, I will say that you did a couple, you know, you did engineering on your way to law.
Yes.
To go into law school. And really, I didn't know that you wanted to be a lawyer. Do you remember when you? So I'm like, you know, I'm the middle sister and I'm bossy and nosy and in everybody's business. And so
she's owning that. Wow.
What do you mean? Yes. No, I use, you know, use it for God's glory. I don't know.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. So I remember we were volunteering for Love Ministries, SMU concession stand. You were home from school, from Texas Tech, where you were getting your engineering degree. And you were telling, I believe it was a girl. I think that's why I was listening, because you were talking to a girl. And so I was trying to see what you were saying. Because otherwise I wouldn't listen. I just wanted to see, what is he saying? So I'm listening.
Bible scriptures. I was quoting Bible scriptures.
It was not Bible scriptures. That's funny. So he's talking to a girl and he says, after I finish my engineering, I'm going to go to law school. And so I was looking straight, trying to pretend I wasn't listening. And I'm listening to every word. When you say law school, you don't remember this? I turned to you and said, law school? And like interrupted your little flow with this young lady. And you turned and looked at me and said, yes, law school, and like move out of my conversation. So law school was a surprise for me. I didn't know that you was that always your plan when you went into engineering?
No, it was not. So yeah, it was a surprise for me too.
Okay.
But I will say it was a God thing. And so as I got, you know, towards the end of my undergrad college career, the Lord just kind of opened up a door. One of the engineering deans had approached me about just touring the law school at Texas Tech University.
Okay.
And along with some other engineering students.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I even heard of a patent attorney, you know, an intellectual property law, and kind of how it's kind of an integration between or a combination between engineering and technology and then the practice of law.
Okay.
And so that kind of piqued my interest. And, you know, to make a long story short, that in that time frame, there was a couple of different ways that God just literally sent people into my realm to speak words of encouragement about, hey, this that you have in your heart to do, go for it.
Right.
That this is a God thing. Literally, I remember I was actually helping out with a grad student conference that was at Texas Tech University, and I volunteered to just drive some of the grad students. I was still an undergrad, but drive some of the grad students from the campus to, like, the mall and from, you know, from back and forth from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one grad student, a young lady, that was on the bus that I was driving, and she was asking me about my plans, you know, because they were grad students. So what was my plans after I finished up? And I told her, you know, I was kind of thinking about law school, but I'm not really really sure. And she said, Spencer Jones Esquire. That has a ring to it. You know, I think you can do it. And she just kind of encouraged me. Mm-hmm. And so even to this day now, I use Esquire, mm-hmm. particularly because of that, mm-hmm. Because that was part of my process of realizing, hey, this is a God thing. This is an avenue that God is open for you to pursue.
Right. Yeah, okay, that's very cool. So that's a story I didn't know. There's a couple of things that even I did. You got that around me, around my all-knowing eye.
Which, yeah, it wasn't easy.
So, but, you know, I think it's wonderful that you still have taken, because our family is rooted and grounded in creativity and imagineering, as you said. And am I saying that right?
Yes.
Imagineering, yes. As you said. And you've really taken that and just kind of applied the law to apply, you know, kind of made it your own. And you're doing that, you know, what God has called you to do and helping people in that way. And we always said that you were the talker in the family, the arguer.
Yeah, and that got me into a lot of trouble and a lot of spankings.
Yes, so much trouble. And we were always saying, Spencer, why don't you just be quiet? And you were like, well, because I'm right and such. And so you could argue your point very well when you were very little, right or wrong.
Yeah, argue my way into a spanking.
Yes,
for sure.
You could argue your point all the time. So I think it's so fitting that, because there are some times that you have to be in the court and you have to present cases and things like that and argue in favor of one thing or the next. And so
yes.
The Lord just, it was what the Lord called you to do even when you were young, when we were trying to focus it.
Yes.
Now it's focused.
Yeah, which is right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It always has to be directed in the positive and
yes.
in the right direction.
Yes. So now it's focused. But there were some specific examples that you kind of came to me with about imagineering and how that kind of helped in our family, you know, it kind of bloomed in certain ways.
Yes, certainly. So, well, I'll start a little bit further back.
Okay.
Something I was reminded of is that, you know, and I actually didn't find this out until later years in my life, but one was that both of our grandmothers on both mm-hmm. sides, my mother's side, our mother's side and our father's side, mm-hmm. were very enterprising women.
Yes,
they both
absolutely.
Had their own businesses.
Absolutely.
And, you know, at a time when it was very difficult to do
yes.
that.
Especially for African-American women.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And so because of that, you know, once I became aware of that, that helped me out because I realized that, hey, you know, creativity, entrepreneurship, that's literally in my DNA,
yes.
that there's some legacy in my life.
Yes.
And so that kind of helped me to take that leap and to step out in some of those areas.
Mm-hmm.
But then also directly, you know, at a young age and in my childhood years, I remembered, you know, one, my mother, our mother,
mm-hmm.
she provided a lot, the atmosphere and an environment for creativity,
mm-hmm.
for ingenuity,
mm-hmm.
You know, for doing creative type things. And so, for example, you know, as we were talking in the break, I thought about how when we were children, my mother was the director of the Vacation Bible School at our church.
Right.
And the cool thing about that was, well, one, when my mother was involved in something, we were all involved in it.
Exactly. That means everybody was doing it.
Yes, mm-hmm. we were voluntold, you know. you didn't get to volunteer. You volunteered. You're going to do this. So, you know, we got to walk through that process with her. And so we observed her where she, you know, she devised the whole Vacation Bible School. It started out with a parade. And it was mm-hmm. a parade that a lot of the church was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, you know, kids riding their bikes
mm-hmm.
and folks dressed up as clowns. And even one year we had a generator on a trailer and we
yes.
were playing our instruments.
We had a band,
and
yes.
had a band and we were doing all of that. And we were going out to the community,
mm-hmm.
You know, passing out flyers, announcing the Vacation Bible School, inviting
mm-hmm.
the community into the Vacation Bible School. So that was advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, creativity, ingenuity,
mm-hmm.
organizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a parade route and mm-hmm. all those different things that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And that was just the start. And so then, you know, we had the Vacation Bible School Week. And in inviting the community and reaching out to the community, mm-hmm. it grew so much to where we had to split it up and have the children's Vacation Bible School in the morning and then the adults in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a great time. And, you know, year to year in those days, the children and the teens especially, they looked forward to Vacation Bible School.
Absolutely. I did. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the children and teens in the church, but it was mm-hmm. in the surrounding community as well. And so then we started having, you know, it was kind of the culmination of Vacation Bible School was the Friday night concert.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, she would open it up. And so there were some of the kids that were attending that, you know, came up with acts and they were in the Vacation Bible School concert. Mm-hmm. And of course we were, you know, in our family band that mm-hmm. we had.
Yes.
So we were playing instruments and Carla was up there learning how to be a worship leader. She had her lines that she had to say, introducing the band and giving an exhortation and all that good stuff.
Which I hated talking. I was like, I don't want to talk, you know, and now I talk for a living, but yes.
So doing all those wonderful things and creating, again, that space for creativity. Mm-hmm. And not just for us, but providing the platform for other young people as well in the church and in the community. And so looking back on those times, I realized that those are things that I learned in terms of being, you know, creative, being innovative, mm-hmm. using your God-given talents, mm-hmm. how to put on events. Since then, I've put on so many different events in various ways and occasions. Mm-hmm. And I think back and I learned how to plan and how to strategize and how to implement those types of things, be enterprising, you know, from watching my mom and having to do some of those things
mm-hmm.
with her.
Mm-hmm. And writing music. I mean, that was because our VBS wasn't really from a kit. I mean, we created everything.
Yes.
Like, we wrote the music, we practiced it up, you know, and everything. Like, everything was creative and everything was unique. And so if you wanted that VBS, you had to be there that week.
Absolutely.
For that specific VBS. It wasn't duplicated anywhere. And so you're right. I mean, we absolutely learned firsthand so many things working, you know, voluntolding, you know, in the church just that 1 week. I actually hadn't thought about that in forever, I think. Yeah. And the whole community looked forward to that VBS. It got to the point that it was kind of branded in that way. So everybody knew when the parade came, okay, that was the, you know, that was the start of VBS.
Yes, absolutely. And it grew such that, again, we had to split up. The reason why we split up, because we didn't have enough space
mm-hmm.
To accommodate everybody.
Mm-hmm.
People look forward to it. And certainly, I know from my perspective, being a kid, we just loved it. We looked forward to Vacation Bible School and even being able to interact with the people from the community that were coming in that maybe necessarily didn't attend our church on a regular basis. And so I certainly want to encourage, you know, the wives, the mothers, the young women out there to really push forward in the creativity mm-hmm. that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, if you have children, if you have nieces, nephews, make sure that you provide an environment, a space that's conducive for the creativity of your children, your nieces, your nephews, mm-hmm. those around you,
mm-hmm.
that you can really be a blessing, not just to yourself, what you're doing directly, but even with them and providing them an opportunity to be able to learn, you know, from you and then put their hands to the plow and get dirty, if I can say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've learned about this current generation is they don't want to just be told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get their hands dirty, be a part of the decision process, be a part of the planning process, and really get into the weeds of, you know, doing whatever they have in their heart to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I always say it's very important in those early experiences and those being able to try out different things and being able to decide, okay, I tried out singing and it wasn't my favorite. And then I went to dancing and that really spoke to me, you know.
Yes.
And so those early experiences really are keys and a lot of times turn into their, you know, our children's, their passion and their job that they end up doing in their future when they have room and space to try out different things and see what do I really like, what really, you know, speaks to me.
Yes, certainly, certainly. And so even that reminds me of another instance in our childhood. Mm-hmm. And an experience that you and I actually shared, okay. Carla, was one summer, and I'll say this, that, you know, our mother, she made sure that we had plenty to do during the summertime.
Yes.
That during the summers, you know, we would have time where we would have, you know, kind of some schoolwork. She mm-hmm. found some work for us to do in the mm-hmm. early mornings. And then we would go out and do fun activities, you know, and traditional stuff, the swimming, you know, skating. Also tennis mm-hmm. and different things, swim team and all those wonderful things. But this one particular summer, she found out about a park, our neighboring park and recreation. They were working with some young people, children and young people, to put on a play.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going to compete with the other neighboring parks and recreation departments to, you know, see who could come up with the best play.
Mm-hmm.
And so she found out about it. They had been working on it for actually some weeks, but they wanted us to be involved. And mm-hmm. so she signed us up. We got involved. And they literally wrote us basically into the play
mm-hmm.
Because we played instruments and Carla was singing. And I don't know, can I tell people what you were playing at that time?
I guess so. You're already into the story. Go ahead.
So Carla was a budding saxophonist at that time. And so they actually wrote us into the play. We were like the intro to the play
mm-hmm.
Where it started out, opened up with Carla. I believe she played a little bit. She may have even sang some. And I was playing my drums. We had to lug the whole drum kit up there
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had some lines, you know, in the play as well. And I tell you all, it was kind of crazy to me. It's crazy to me now
mm-hmm.
that I actually even won an award
right.
for being in that play.
Right, right.
Coming in kind of at the tail end of it.
Right.
But it was all because, you know, give us being provided the opportunity
mm-hmm.
and the space
mm-hmm.
for creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so even now, both of us, we do a lot of things where we do public speaking. We're in front of a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
You know, in various capacities in ministry. And I look back and I see that those times were preparation. Those were opportunities for us to work on public speaking and how to conduct yourself when you're in front, you know, of a group of people and
right.
how to connect with people and
right.
all those different skills
mm-hmm.
that we may not necessarily have had formal training in some of those
mm-hmm.
things,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, we were able to expose ourselves and continue to work our gifts and talents at an
mm-hmm.
early age.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that really started us. I'm listening to you tell these stories and my brain is going back and I'm remembering those things and taking myself back to that beginning. And really, that really did lay the foundation for who we are today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and with, and so let's fast forward to today a little bit, unless you have one more story.
No, that's good.
Fast forward to today. So now, you know, when we create music and when we create, Roosevelt and I, we've written a curriculum.
Yes.
A marriage curriculum. And so many different people in our family have, you know, written different things. And we have line dancing mom, Myra Jones, and the Soul Inspirational Line Dancers, all of those things. Then we bring those to you and then we say, okay, we've created this. What do we need to do to protect the, you know, our creation, basically?
Yes, that is correct. And so, yeah, that's my area of practice in law. And so, yeah, I'm always excited to help you all with, you know, figuring out exactly what's the proper mechanism to go in terms of protecting it and the
mm-hmm.
things that you can do. And in a lot of cases, it depends on what you want to do with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so for our listeners today, certainly I just, you know, to kind of whet your appetite a little bit,
mm-hmm.
That if you have questions about that, certainly, you know, well, I'll say this. One, a very good place and a good resource to use is www.uspto.gov.
Okay.
And USPTO stands for the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And so they have a wealth of information. And sometimes it can seem a little bit overwhelming, but they do a pretty good job of having some basic basic frequently asked question type information on their website, mm-hmm. where you can run down and there you can find out basic information about trademarks, you know, what they are, you know, what they protect and how you use them. Mm-hmm. And then you can find some basic information about patents as well, just to kind of get you started and to have a, you know, just a general kind of basic understanding. I like to call it walking around knowledge, just okay. a little walking around knowledge mm-hmm. to get you kind of headed in that direction. Mm-hmm. And then also for, you know, copyrights, you can go to copyright.gov and that'll get you to the United States Copyright Office. And again, they have some basic information just about copyrights and really all those intellectual property rights, trade secrets as well. There's a lot of misconceptions out in kind right. of general public.
Right.
So I say that's a good place to start, just to kind of peruse through, just get a general understanding of what they are. And mm-hmm. then, you know, certainly you can reach out to an attorney, mm-hmm. you know, to get more detailed information about your specifics.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when somebody gets, you know, in contact with you, kind of what is the process that you take them through? With us, you ask us, well, I'll let you answer that. I'm about to answer my own question.
Okay.
What's the process?
Yeah, well, generally, you know, I will have initial consultation and, you know, phone conference, and we can just talk about, okay, what do you have? You know, ask some questions generally. Okay, what have you done up to this point? Have you mm-hmm. done kind of some research?
Mm-hmm.
And really just to get a understanding of what they have, what they desire to do with it. And mm-hmm. then we can have a conversation about, okay, these are your options. These are, you know, the ways you may want to go in terms of protecting, you know, your intellectual property assets. Mm-hmm. And so that's something for me that I really enjoy to do. And I think it comes from, you know, my creative background mm-hmm. and engineering background is to be able to work with people that have great ideas, that have concepts that are innovative, and assist them with being able to protect them from a legal perspective.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I like about you is you are as heady as you are, but when you talk to people, you can be normal. You can talk, you know, normal. He's like looking at me like, what?
I talk normal because I am normal.
Well, sometimes people, you know, may get in contact with a lawyer or something like that, and then they use all of these words and nobody knows what they're saying. And, well, I hung up and I still don't know what my next steps are. I mean, you break everything down for the normal person to understand.
Yeah, and I know what you're getting at. That, and I will say this, that yes, I really do try to, you know, make the law accessible mm-hmm. To people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the general public typically doesn't understand legal jargon.
Mm-hmm.
You all can watch the TV shows for all the legal jargon. But yeah, when we talk, you really just try to make it accessible. Mm-hmm. And so it's more so just having a conversation with people. And my goal, you know, and when I help clients and represent clients, is really to help them to get the protection that they need. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and I view myself as a counselor of law. So I, mm-hmm. I want to educate and counsel along with providing the services.
Mm-hmm. And you also have a ministry background, you know, ministry, nonprofit work. All of that goes into how you treat, how you take care of clients and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I can say from personal experience that, you know, we've had great success working with you, and you've helped us to understand the process very well, walked us through the process very well. So I'll give you my stamp of approval. Is that okay?
Hallelujah.
Okay, give us your website one more time.
Okay, the website is www.spencerjoneslaw.com.
All right, so everybody can go there and get all of the great information. Our program is a radio show as a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org for all of the great information. Go to our social media at EHEW Radio and get all of the great information about the radio show. My personal social media, Carla Nivens Entertainment. Carla is is with a K. So everyone, and thank you so much, Spencer, for being here. Let me say that. Spencer Jones, Esquire, attorney at law.
Yes.
DJ thank Law.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate your time. We really do appreciate the conversation that we had. Everyone, we will see you back here next week. I am Carla Nivens. I am your host.